kind of day for Blue Jays fans. Sportsnet today on the Sportsnet Radio Network. I am Ben Ennis. That was Josh Donaldson talking about how sexy Blue Jays uniforms are. They're pretty good. Powder Blues were pretty good. They're gone. Don't get to see them anymore. But, he's now a member of the Toronto Blue Jays after being a part of the blockbuster deal going down late last night. Brett Laurie, Franklin Barreto, Kendall Graveman, and Sean Nolan headed the other way for the guy who's second in war to Mike Trout the last couple of seasons. I'm Ben Ennis. Mike Wilner is in studio right now, which is exciting. Hello, Michael.
Hello. Yeah, I almost came in last night, but Salmon and Russick were only on until midnight.
Yeah.
But, it's a pretty big big thing. Good reason to be here.
Yeah, not quite as big as I think the blockbuster with the Marlins a couple of years ago.
That was just higher quantity, right?
Yeah.
And the Blue Jays were getting what they thought was going to be a number one starter, a leadoff man, a number three starter. And
a guy who was in the MVP conversation early in his career with Jose Reyes as well.
Batting champion. He was a batting champion, yeah. So, yeah. But this is someone who not a lot of people around these parts have heard of and don't, I think, realize just quite how good he is.
He's ridiculous.
He's very, very, very good.
Refried-diculous. We're going to take your phone calls this hour, so feel free to queue up 416-870-0590, 1-888-666-0590, *590 on the cell, and you can also reach us on Twitter. You know how to reach Mike. He's at Wilderness590. I'm at Bennis Snet. So, Mike, you just finished this conference call with Mr. Donaldson.
I didn't ask him that question about getting the uniform being sexy.
Yeah. Oh, I'm just reading some of the stuff that the people are writing about it. He seems like a pretty verbose guy.
He was pretty good. He said some interesting things. He had some good answers. He talked about how he found out about the trade. He was in his man cave playing some old school Mortal Kombat.
I don't want to call him a liar, but he said he's playing Nintendo and he was playing Mortal Kombat.
No.
Okay, so it was Super Nintendo?
He said he was playing old school Mortal Kombat, and then later on in the conference call, he talked about how he bought a Nintendo, and he did mention as well that he bought a Super Nintendo.
Okay.
So, I mean, I'm more of an Atari 2600 in television kind of guy.
Yeah.
So I don't really understand these things, but... if you say Mortal Kombat required Super Nintendo, he did in fact have Super Nintendo.
Okay, good. Cause we would have gotten off to a horrible start to his tenure here in Toronto if he's lying or unaware of the fact that, you know, Mortal Kombat's not on Nintendo. But he's a Toronto Blue Jay. It's exciting, on a number of different fronts. One is that he's already played at an MVP type level the last couple of years at a ballpark where you're not supposed to be able to do things offensively. And the numbers have been pretty outstanding, power numbers. 29 home runs last year. 2013, he had 24, but hit .301 with the .384 on base. It's not just the fences, Mike, at that horrible ballpark that smells like human feces, but it's the foul territory. One of those things is going to get you, whether it's the fences so far away or the fact that every little foul ball is likely an out.
Yeah, and I think I wonder how much that has helped Josh Donaldson's
and
UZR and stuff like that. The smell of feces generally is only in, if you'll pardon the phrase, the bowels of the stadium. When you're out there I don't think when you're out in the in well, this isn't going to sound good either. When you're out in the bowl, I don't know that it's that bad. But he said on that conference call, I asked him about hitting at Rogers Center, and he said he thought he hit 14 balls last year.
Saw that quote.
That would have been home runs that were held in by the ballpark. So if those go out, then that's 43 homers for Josh Donaldson last
year.
That
might be a little lot to expect.
He said he counted.
Okay.
That's what he said.
Do you remember his first career home run off Dana Evelyn?
I don't. I was there.
I don't remember it either.
I remember Dana Evelyn not being good at all.
Right.
For the Blue Jays.
Well,
Let me look it up.
That's not fair for a guy who threw 70. He had some decent moments. Dana Evelyn did.
Did he? With the Blue Jays? I don't remember him. Didn't he have maybe he did have a couple of good starts.
I feel like he had a shutout at some point. All right, let's look at the other end, what the Blue Jays gave up. And by everyone's accounting of this, they gave up stuff, but nothing near what you would have thought you would have to give up for a guy who, it can't be said enough, is just marginally behind Mike Trout the last 2 years.
In war. And war is, it should be noted.
Yeah, not the be-all-end-all.
War is a flawed stat.
Yeah. So is every stat.
But every stat is flawed. But it, you know what? It's not insignificant that only Mike Trout has a better WAR than this guy.
Yep.
As far as position players are concerned. It was Dana Evelyn against Gio Gonzalez, May 1st of 2010. Pardon me, I was very obviously there.
Yeah.
I don't remember it. He was hitting behind Gabe Gross, too.
Oh, my goodness.
Rajay Davis was in the lineup. I'm sorry, Josh. I do remember his little fan club that showed up this year.
Yeah.
And he had no idea why that happened. But as far as WAR and what the Jays gave, if you had asked me on Thursday morning, what would the Jays have to give up for Josh Donaldson? My answer would have been, it doesn't matter. Why would Oakland trade him?
But it's because it's not just he's an MVP. He has four more years of control.
I looked it up as best I could last night. Josh Donaldson has less than 3 years of major league service, and he's already got two top eight MVP finishes. No one with that resume in the history of the game has ever been traded.
That's
no one.
Like Billy Beane does this. He'll trade great players. I mean,
yep.
Yeah, Matt Holliday's gone. You know, Gio Gonzalez.
They're all gone.
Gone.
Cargo.
Right. He dealt
them. He wasn't a great player yet.
Yeah. He dealt them at periods in their career where they were about to get paid. Josh Donaldson is going to do fine for himself, make about $4 million this year.
Right.
And
he's going to get $4 million in his first shot at arbitration, where Brett Laurie's probably going to get $900,000,
yeah,
maybe $1.5 million. So he's already started to get paid like he's a second year arb guy. So that might have had something to do with it. Even Donaldson himself said he thought he was going to be traded the next year or two, but not yet.
Yeah.
So the 4 years of control isn't really 4 years of control for Oakland, because Oakland wasn't going to be able to keep him for all 4 years. But, and this sounded weird to me when I heard it, and it immediately brought me back and reminded me of the huge mistake that the Philadelphia Phillies made 3 or 4 years ago. You remember when they traded for Roy Halladay, they immediately traded Cliff Lee. And when they did that, Ruben Amaro said, well, you know, we've lost so much of our farm system, we have to replenish it, which is just stupid. And then 6 months later, he traded, you know, he traded to get Lee back, giving up more than he'd gotten back to get him the first time. And Billy Beane on his conference call yesterday, last night, I was listening in, and he said, look, we've used up a lot of our prospect capital the last little while, and we felt like we needed to replenish that. And that was one of the reasons they made the deal,
but
which is never the right reason to make that trade.
Let's be honest, and I don't want to be overly harsh here, but Sean Nolan and Kendall Graveman are not, like, even, I don't even, they're not prospects. I don't even,
no,
can I say that?
I think you're wrong.
Okay, they're the bottom tier of prospects.
No, they're not, because the bottom tier of prospects is a group that's never going to even sniff.
No, the bottom tier is org guys. They're not org guys. They're not organizational depth
guys. No,
they're
not at all.
No, but they're not. They're not prospects in the way that you don't expect either of the guys to be, you know, top of the rotation.
No.
1, 2, 3 guys. I think their ceilings are maybe slightly better than replacement starting pitchers, both of them. Would you agree with that?
No. I think they can be better than that. And I think, in fact, one of them will be better than that with Oakland, if not both. But that's also because they're going to Oakland.
Yeah.
And you know, Dana Evelyn was a good pitcher for
sure.
Oakland at one point. They are worth a lot more to the A's than they are to the Blue Jays. With the Blue Jays, you've got Dickey, Burley, Stroman, Hutchison, Norris, Happ, and that's in the major leagues. In the minor leagues, you've got Asuna, Toronto, Hoffman, Foley, Reed. All those guys are ahead of
Castro.
Nolan and Graveman, Castro. So that makes Nolan and Graveman, you know, 10-11 on the Blue Jays depth chart for starting pitching. For Oakland, I would think that they're both going to be in the major league rotation next year.
Yeah.
And the Kendall Graveman probably winds up being their third starter and being pretty good. So this is a case of the Blue Jays dealing from this serious, serious, serious depth. We talked about, you know, the last few years, people talking about how it's a bad thing that, you know, they used it as a pejorative. Alex Anthopoulos likes to hoard prospects. Like, that's a bad thing. This is what that can turn into, that you have so many of them that guys that other teams will really value are guys that are serious, serious surplus for you.
Sean Nolan's a guy we knew, we've known about for a couple of years, had that cup of coffee. It isn't even the right, whatever's less, like he had a little cappuccino shot in the major leagues when he started against the Orioles and got lit up real good. Kendall Graveman's a guy that's come out of absolutely nowhere, Mike. Like, I had no idea who Kendall Graveman was at the beginning of the season. You got to give a shout out to the Blue Jays development system to turn him into something that can become essential. I don't know if it was essential, but a part of this deal for a guy who's an MVP type player.
I'm not going to go outside essential. Billy Bean said he's not making the trade unless every one of those four guys are in there.
Yeah.
I had never heard of Kendall Graveman going into last year. He did not pitch for the Blue Jays in spring training at all. He was in the minor league camp. This is going to be his first big league spring training, and he's going to be like the number three starter on the team.
Maybe.
A playoff team. You have to give credit to the development people. It's true. But you have to give more credit, I think, to Graveman. He was a senior sign, so he was advanced. But they taught him cutter.
A two-seamer.
I think they taught him. Well, that's a cutter. I think they
two-seamer's not a cutter.
Two-seam goes like that. Four-seam goes like that.
Yeah, a cutter is a mini slider. A two-seamer goes the other way. It goes. Yeah, if you're a righty. Now you're going to make it right. If you're a righty, it goes into the hands of a right-handed. A cutter goes the other way. A cutter is a mini slider.
A cutter is a mini slider. A cutter goes away from a right-handed.
Yeah.
A four-seam fastball goes straight in.
And a two-seamer goes the other way.
Lesson here?
Yeah. A two-seamer goes into the hands of a right-handed batter.
All right. Well, that was close.
Or down. So he's turned himself into this great ground ball pitcher because he's learned this pitch. And shocking that he's essential to a trade where you get Josh Donaldson. Lurie's a guy, and listen, I was listening to the conference call last night as well. The question was asked, is it fair to say that Brett Lurie's a disappointment the way he developed?
Yeah.
And Alex took great offense to that.
He did.
And I think understandably so, because when he's been in the major leagues, Brett Lurie's been a contributor.
Sure. I think he might have set the bar kind of high. Because of that first 6 weeks where he put up MVP type numbers, if you prorate him over a full season, and he was never that good again, but he's 24 years old.
Yep.
And he is a game changer on defense.
He's going to be a free agent before Donaldson,
which is amazing. unless Oakland locks him up, but they don't do that. I'm just looking at the Philly thing. The Cliff Lee thing where I said they traded him and they got him back, they didn't. They signed him as a free agent, thanks to someone on Twitter for pointing that out to me. But maybe it was that they...
Ruben Amaro Jr. is still stupid, though, right?
Well, was it still a bad move?
Yeah.
I wonder what I'm thinking. Maybe I'm thinking of somebody else. But anyway, Brett Lurie, for a 24-year-old, is a very, very good major league ball player.
Yeah.
He can't stay on the field, and that's a major issue. But, if he was 28 and still with the 700 OPS and still managing only to play 80 or 90 games a year, then sure, he didn't develop the way they hoped he was going to develop, because they really did have very, very high hopes for him. But it could very easily, he could still become a perennial all-star. It's going to be tough hitting in Oakland now, but his defense is otherworldly.
Yep.
And there's really no reason to believe that Brett Lurie was a disappointment as a Blue Jay.
No, I just couldn't stay on the field. We're going to take your phone calls up until the top of the hour. 416-870-0590, 1-888-666-0590, *590 on the cell. You can hit us up on Twitter, @BennisSNet, @Wilderness590. So why don't we go to the phone lines? Go to George in Toronto. George, you're on the Sportsnet Radio Network. Hello.
Yes, hi. I just wanted to call in and say, first of all, I'm absolutely super excited that the Jays have gotten not only my favorite third baseman, but I believe that now we have the best catcher and the best third baseman in the American League. And I'm just kind of surprised by a lot of these fans who are saying, well, we're not filling the holes we need. I mean, when you can do upgrades like this, I mean, it's just a no-brainer. And I mean, the Jays are so much of a better team. And both of these guys are winners. And Josh Donaldson, I mean, the 29 home runs that he hit playing in Oakland, I could only imagine what he could do at the Rogers Center. And I'm just super, super excited now. I cannot wait till April.
Thanks for the call, George. Yeah, you could, I guess you could put Manny Machado into the conversation, but I think Donaldson's better than Manny Machado as far as the best third baseman in the American League.
It's clear that Donaldson's, I mean, Manny Machado, again, you're dealing with some phenomenal defensive players, right?
Yep.
Lurie leaving, Machado, Evan Longoria. There are great, great, great third basemen in the American League and in the American League East as well. Josh Donaldson won the Gold Glove. That doesn't mean anything. We know that doesn't mean anything.
No.
But Josh Donaldson was also, when you look at the new defensive metrics, which have their flaws, Josh Donaldson.
Better than Brett Lurie.
Best American League third baseman as far as UZR, ultimate zone rating per 150 games over 3 years, which is what it's supposed to be measured at. He's the best at that in the American League. Manny Machado, lovely. His career high in home runs is 14.
Yep.
Never had a better on-base percentage than .324.
He throws bats.
Clearly, this guy is not as good as Josh Donaldson is right now. Machado's 21 years old.
And he's so angry at that, he throws bats at him.
Yeah. And he throws bats at him, and they're going to see each other 18 times.
19.
Awesome. 18.
Isn't it 19 now with the...
Used to be 19. Now it's 18.
All right. Whatever. I wish it was 19. He's Mike Wilner. I'm Ben Ennis. Sportsnet Today, Sportsnet Radio Network, taking your phone calls, 416-870-0590.
I wish it was 13.
888-660-0590, *590. What? Oh, yeah, so then you just had a balanced schedule.
Yeah, I want a balanced schedule. Yeah,
me too, actually. Let's go. Actually, we'll go back to the phone lines in just a second. We know who we're going to. Actually, we do. We have George's in Mississauga. Hello, George. Back-to-back Georges. That's good.
Hey, guys. How's it going? Mike, I was the guy who mentioned it on Twitter about the Cliff Lee thing, but I still agree with you. It's a trade that doesn't really make sense when you're just trying to, that's the wrong reason to acquire prospects. But
right.
The other part of that, though, is this trade I really, really liked because with him and Russell Martin, do you necessarily have to try to replace Melky's offensive output at left field now? I think you've already done a lot with the lineup with adding Martin and Josh Donaldson right now.
You've added Martin and Donaldson. You've lost Navarro, Melky, and Lind. That's a lot of offense.
Well, haven't lost Navarro yet.
You've lost Navarro because...
But we don't know what the return will be, so it's hard to say that you've just lost him.
No, exactly. But even if you know what the return will be on Lind, you know that you've lost that offensive performer, right?
Yeah.
So the offense right now is not as good as the offense was last year, but it is still really, really good. And I think Justin Smoke hitting seventh is probably a pretty good thing. But again, there's still a lot of offseason left to go out and see if they can get that first baseman, if they can get that DH, all that stuff. I replenishing your prospect stock is not the right reason to make a deal. But again, those guys are worth, they're not prospects to Oakland. Three of them are going to be in the major leagues this year. But as far as losing Melky, I've always said all winter long, it's not even winter yet, all offseason long,
feels like winter.
I'm fine with Norichka Aoki.
Yeah.
Totally fine with him. He costs you a third of what Melky will cost you. He gets on base at exactly the same rate. You can plug him in the two hole. He's decent defensively, better than Melky. He'll steal some bases. And he's sitting out there waiting. So, and then you can let Melky go. You take back the first round pick and you can use that money and get a second baseman and fill out the bullpen. So, I really honestly don't believe that Melky Cabrera is a necessity, is a be-all and end-all, is a guy the Blue Jays can't live without, with or without these trades.
That being said, if they don't get Melky, if they don't get Aoki, I think that's a problem in left field if you're going with whatever Andy Dierks and whatever John Mayberry Jr. in left field, and you're going with Mesa Ristouris and, I don't know, Ryan Goins, and you've got Devin Travis waiting in the minor leagues. I think that's not a great scenario if you've got that in left and second. But if you get one of Aoki and Cabrera, I think I'm okay with the platooning or whatever situation at second base.
It doesn't have to be Aoki or Cabrera.
And Tolleson, forgot to mention him, right, against lefties, who was outstanding. People forget how good he was against lefties.
Yeah, you've got Danny Valencia too, but he's not going to play second base for you. And now, you know, Danny Valencia is sort of your platoon DH who crushes lefties. So, Smoke, I don't know what you're going to get out of Smoke.
I'm not counting on anything out of him.
He's moving from a very poor hitting environment to a very good hitting environment.
Yeah.
This guy is, you know, we write off people so quickly. And
Donaldson and Bautista are a couple of guys who were written off.
Right. And a lot of people writing off Brett Laurie at 24. Justin Smoke has had a very good year in the major leagues, and he could be another 30 to 35 home run guy for this team. But I would love to see them go out and get a legit, honest to goodness DH.
Where is this year that Justin Smoke had his great year? I don't see it.
I mean, said very good. I didn't say great.
Okay, very good.
I mean, 750 OPS, 20 homers playing for Seattle. I'll take that.
Where is
in
that?
Seattle?
Where are you seeing 750? I mean, in 2013, he was 746.
Yeah, that's 750. That's what I'm saying.
Oh, okay. But, yeah, also, he was first baseman. So, I mean, like, you're looking at an OPS plus. So it's a 113 because I guess OPS plus factors in park factors, but you're playing first base.
Yeah, and he had an 840 OPS against righties that year. He hit a big, big bunch of home runs. I think that, you know, there's potential for quality there. He's only going to be 28 years old on opening day. This is a top 12 pick in the draft who was one of the top power prospects in the game not long ago. So
is Brandon Wood.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. The guys fail all the time. But to write a guy off at 27 is a big mistake. And, again, I would love to see them not go into the season with Justin Smoke as your primary DH.
Yeah.
But good things. He could certainly do some very good things. And, again, the key, he only has to hit in the bottom third of the batting.
Back to the phone lines. Rocky is in Markham. You're on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Rocky.
Thanks for taking my call. I think acquiring Josh Donaldson, it takes a bigger step for the Blue Jays, because I really believe that I would take Russell Martin and Josh Donaldson over Hanley Ramirez and Sandoval, especially with the way the Red Sox are spending. And what I heard is John Heaney is saying is the Jays are still trying to re-sign Melky Cabrera. My question to you is, what are the odds? And my second question to you is, are they still in the hunt for Andrew Miller or John Lester? Because I know that they're still trying to address in the relief situation. So I really want to know what's going on with that. So thank you.
Thanks for the call, Rocky. Mike, you want to address that stuff?
I said on Twitter last night, I think the odds are less than 50-50 of signing Melky Cabrera.
Really?
Yeah. I think the money could be better spent elsewhere, for one thing.
Depends on how much of it there is.
Right. Well, no, it doesn't, because it can still always be better spent elsewhere. I think that the difference between Aoki and Melky Cabrera is not significant enough to cost the Blue Jays a chance to sign two relievers.
Well, that's the thing. But if the money is there and it's not going to cost you the opportunity to sign those guys, Melky's the better offensive player.
Yes.
So if you can get him and still do the other things you need to do with the bullpen, and
there's still a finite amount of money, though. So no matter what, you're always
going
to...
Yeah, but if the finite is more than it was last year, and it's that changes it for me mentally.
I don't know why you're arguing this. There's always, it's a finite amount of money, regardless of how much money there is. So there will always be more if you sign the cheaper player who's almost as good.
But depending on how much money there is, there's a percentage of it that will be allocated to Melky Cabrera. And that changes my thinking on him. If it's a higher percentage of the remaining money you have left to spend, I'm with you. Go with Aoki. But if it's a smaller percentage and it still allows you to do these other moves while getting the superior offensive player in left field, I say, even if it's a slight overpay, go back to Melky.
I want to be able to get as good as possible in the bullpen and as good as possible at second base. And so I want as much money as possible to be able to spend on those things. So I'll save a little bit by, or save a lot by signing, regardless of the percentages. If I'm giving Aoki $8 million a year and I'm giving Melky $14 million a year, that's $6 million extra to spend, and that can buy me two relievers. So I want to do that. Mm-hmm. So that's, for me anyway, why that's going on. As far as Andrew Miller, I'm really scared of Andrew Miller.
Because it's just 1 year.
Because it's just 1 year. And it's not just 1 year of being really good. It's just 1 year of throwing strikes.
Yep.
This guy has been an absolute walk machine over the course of his entire major league career until last season. He had a walk rate going into last year of 5.3 per nine innings. Last year, it was cut more than in half. Maybe he's come into his own. Maybe he's going to be great, and maybe now he's going to be the best closer in the big leagues for the next 4 years. I would like someone else to take that gamble.
But bullpen arms are so reliable, Mike. They're the same year after year. What are you talking about?
Everybody's the exact same year after year.
So they lose Brett Laurie. How about adding a Lowry? Jed Lowry's out there.
I'm fine with that. Put Jed Lowry at second base, and apparently, at least people pronounce his name right. I mean, now we don't have to hear people saying Brett Lowry all the time. The word is, going into the offseason, that Jed Lowry was positioning himself as a shortstop and he wanted to be a shortstop. And now people are starting to say, yeah, you know what? Maybe you think you're a shortstop. We think you're a second baseman. He would be a very good ad for the Blue Jays because he'd be a good defensive second baseman, a guy who can give Jose Reyes a breather at shortstop every once in a while. It moves Meister Esteves back into that utility role that you want from him. He provides some offense. Again, you're looking for a second baseman who's going to hit eighth for you. So the offense isn't huge, but you'd like it to be more than the nothing that they're going to get from Ryan Goins. I'm all for the Blue Jays trying to bring in Jed Lowry.
All right, we're going to try and take as many phone calls as we can before 1 o'clock. Let's go back to the phone lines. Matt is in Waterloo. Hey, Matt.
Hey, boys. Thanks for taking my call. Much appreciated.
Thanks for making it.
Just wanted to touch on Brett Laurie. I'm extremely excited for this guy heading out to Oakland. Reason being, he doesn't have to play on artificial turf anymore. And I feel like that's going to allow him to play, hopefully, more than 70 games a season. And I just want to know if you boys agree with that and think that, the turf was the cause for a lot of his issues, or if it's sort of just an internal thing on kind of how he plays the game, or what sort of your take is on all that.
Sometimes it was camera wells and stuff that was the problem for Brett Laurie.
Brett Laurie got hurt. Brett Laurie got hit by a pitch and broke his finger.
Yeah.
Brett Laurie took a ground ball weird and broke his finger. Brett Laurie slid into second base and blew up his ankle.
Yep.
Those were three major injuries for Brett Laurie that had absolutely nothing to do with artificial.
The oblique play. Thing.
The three obliques.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I think that there's much too much emphasis on the turf.
It does suck, though, Mike.
Sure, it sucks. It sucks. It's less than ideal, and it sucks. But you know what? When the Blue Jays were playing on carpet that was about a quarter of an inch thick on concrete, they won four division titles in 5 years, and they weren't losing guys to injury every other half second. So I don't think the turf has as much to do with it as you think. Jose Reyes has not had a hamstring injury in his 2 years with the Blue Jays as a result of the turf. It's not that bad. Good for Brett Laurie that he's going to be in a lower pressure situation. He's going to get a great chance to show off that glove. Lower pressure because nobody watches.
Right. Anymore. I wouldn't call Toronto a high pressure baseball environment.
For a Canadian, I think it's higher. But he'll get a little bit more national attention being in the United States and people will appreciate him more. But getting off the turf is kind of low on that list for me.
Before we go to the break here, and if you're on a line, stay there. We'll try to get to everybody after the break here. What did you make of the Buster Olney tweet about Melky preferring to leave Toronto? And then his agent did come on this radio station yesterday and refute that.
Yeah, and Melky did too on Twitter. He said he doesn't care where he plays and what surface he plays on. He's a baseball player. I think that that's fair. I think that given the choice between grass and turf, you would choose grass. Like Shai Davidi said, I think the green that influences Melky's decision is not going to be the turf of the grass.
Sure. Why don't they do it like next year, though? Honestly, why do we have to wait for the Argos?
Why
just
don't
send
they
him
do
to Hamilton.
Now?
Yeah.
You know, I the Blue Jays are your main tenant.
I don't
care. They're there 81 times a year. The Argos are there 10 times a year, and mostly playing in front of friends and family. I don't get why they're waiting for them either.
It's curious, to be sure. More of your phone calls coming up after the break. 416-870-0590, 888-666-0590, *590 on the cell. I'm at Bennis Esnet. He's at Wilderness590 on Twitter as well. It's Sportsnet today. Ben Ennis and Mike Wilner on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
I walk the streets of Japan till I get lost, cause it doesn't remind me of LA.
Sportsnet today, Sportsnet Radio Network. I am Ben Ennis, sitting in with Mike Wilner until the top of the hour. Samet and Russa got you after then. Taking your phone calls, 416-870-0590, 888-666-0590, *590 on the cell. You know the details by now. Josh Donaldson for Brent Laurie. And that's essentially it for this season, because the other three guys involved in the trade were not likely to be at least major contributors. Barreto, not a contributor at all. And the other two, turn on your mic first, Mike.
Somebody else turned it off. Graveman, I could have seen in the bullpen this year at some point being like a sixth or seventh inning super ground ball, Seth Maness type of guy. But that would have been the extent of it, I think.
Before we get back to the phone lines, apparently you can reach me by email. My Rogers email. Well, actually, you can only do that if you're a producer at Sportsnet. Paul Bromby, one of the hockey producers, is curious, Mike. This is from Paul.
I thought you gave out your email.
No, I didn't.
I once gave my cell number out on Blue Jays Talk.
I once was trying to tweet out the numbers, the call lines here, and I guess I was tired. I ended up tweeting out my own cell number and I had to delete the tweet. But Bomber asks, the last two players Alex Anthopoulos has acquired are quote-unquote grinders. Is this an attempt to change the locker room and culture or just a coincidence?
I think it's somewhere in the middle. I mean, I don't think you're paying $82 million for a grinder. You know, if Russell Martin didn't do all the other things that he's really good at, the fact that he's a grinder wouldn't have been enough to get him here. If Josh Donaldson didn't do all the other things that he's really good at, the fact that he's got that winning mentality or whatever wouldn't be enough for the Blue Jays to have been interested in him. It's a really, really nice bonus.
Let's go back to the phone lines. Victor is in Milton. You're on the Sportsnet Radio Network, Victor.
Good evening or good afternoon, gentlemen. Here's the thing. I'm the type of fan that, you know, I gauge my expectations based on what the both of you will think of a trade or think of a team. And I heard two statements that were apparently true, the consensus that they're true, but when I think about them, they sort of like contradict each other. The first statement I think a fan made was, we've upgraded significantly at two positions. And then the next sentence after he left the air is that we're not as strong a team as we were last year. So I thought, wow, that doesn't make a lot of sense, except for one wild card, which is Melky Cabrera.
Yeah.
Well, there are two wild cards. Don't forget.
Adam
Lynn. The Blue Jays have upgraded significantly at catcher and at third base. They have downgraded significantly at left field and at designated hitter. Now, they still have 3 months to address those issues, and I'm confident that they will. But right now, that's why.
And at the bullpen, they have downgraded at bullpen because they've lost Casey Jansen.
But nobody's left yet. They could still bring it. You know, Shai said yesterday that he thought out of all the relievers who are free agents, Casey Jansen was the likeliest to return, which really, really surprised me. But Shai knows stuff.
Yeah.
So nobody's gone yet. But I think the bullpen definitely needs a lot of help.
Yeah. No question. That was maybe the biggest need headed into this offseason. Well, that and left field. And who knows what Melky Cabrera's situation is going forward. Let's go back to the phone lines. Ian is in Ottawa. You're on the Sportsnet Radio Network. Ian.
Hi, Ben. Hi, Mike.
Hey.
Hello.
I have a comment and a question. My comment is I think they've definitely have a huge upswing at third base now with Donaldson, not only because of him being healthy, but also bringing a winning attitude because the A's were in the playoffs. My question is, and I don't know if it's rumor or how much you can tell me it's actually truth, is of them trying to go after Jay Bruce of the Reds.
Not happening.
Why?
Because he makes too much money for what he does, and he's not worth dealing for. The Blue Jays are not interested. regardless of the no trade, that he's it's not happening.
Yeah, he doesn't hit lefties at all, does he?
He hits lefties for power, but for nothing else.
Yeah.
It's like he's got more homers against lefties the last 3 years than anybody or something like that, but he doesn't do anything else. He is, he's basically, and I've said this before and people have gotten upset about this, he's a little bit better than Matt Joyce. And Matt Joyce will not cost you anything.
No.
And Jay Bruce will cost you a ton.
And I'd be a little wary of grabbing power guys out of Cincinnati because that ballpark is a thimble.
Yeah, it's not happening.
Yeah. But Joey Votto is happening, right?
Wouldn't that be something? Like, if Rogers wants to make a splash, wouldn't that be something?
What do you have to give up to get Joey Votto, though?
I don't know. He makes a ton of money. He's coming off a injury-plagued season. This might be the best time to go get him, but... I can't, you know, I can't imagine. I've been told that Justin Morneau's not going to happen either. He's a perfect fit for the Blue Jays, I think. And I think a guy that, as the offseason progresses, Colorado may be more and more willing to trade. I think he's a little bit more realistic target than a Joey Votto.
Yeah, Joey Votto, what a crappy year he had. 390 on base. And,
injury play.
Yeah.
How many games did he play?
Yeah, he only played 62.
Yeah.
I know, but people are talking about it being a very down year offensively when he was healthy. He had a 390 on base.
That's down for him.
It was just a couple of years ago that he was the only guy in Major League Baseball that did not have an infield pop.
Can you imagine Joey Votto hitting second in front of Jose Bautista, Edwin Encarnacion, and Josh Donaldson?
It would be, yeah. I think you could live with whatever you had at second base. You could put a pile on there, maybe.
That would just be silly.
It would be. It'd be ridiculous. Let's go to Alan in Toronto. Hey, Alan.
Hi, I'm very highly critical of Oakland making that deal. There must be something that they don't like about Donaldson. Either he's he's rotten in the clubhouse. There has to be something
they
wrong.
They don't
with
like how much money he's going to wind up making over the next few years.
And they, first they get rid of Cespedes, and then they get rid of Donaldson. And he has very big shoes to fill defensively, I can say that much, because Laurie's probably the best defensive third baseman that I've seen outside
but
of Kelly Gruber.
I would say that you haven't seen much of Josh Donaldson. Yeah,
he's first of all, Lurie's better than Kelly Gruber was. I think Lurie's the best defensive third baseman I've ever seen, but Josh Donaldson rates very, 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 very highly in all the observable defensive metrics, which are flawed, but they're not getting a pile on over there.
Yeah, and he actually rates higher than Brett Lurie if you go by the defensive metrics. And again, those are, I mean, you want to talk about WAR being a flawed stat.
Yeah, those are super flawed.
Defensive metrics, yeah. You really need a big sample size to get
even
there.
So, there.
Yeah. Let's go to Landon, who is in Minnesing, I guess. Wherever that is. Where's that, Landon?
Minnesing. It's just north of Barrie.
Okay, nice.
Yes. How are you gentlemen doing today?
Tremendous.
Tremendous. Awesome. Well, I've been listening to you, and I just wanted to chime in a little bit. I totally agree with, I can't believe that the Rogers group is going to wait an extra year. The real main part of my call was Cabrera. I'm just, like, not unimpressed with him. I kind of like him. And in the core group of guys, I can see him being there, and he's someone that I don't see being injured all the time, which is a huge benefit to me.
Did you miss 2013?
Wow, well, I don't know.
Tumor in your back. That's a tough one, though, Mike.
I don't know. Like, Melky Cabrera had a great year for the Blue Jays last year. But even at that, what was it, an 850 OPS?
I want to say it was lower than that.
For a corner outfielder. I mean, I'm not ragging on Melky, and people are going to say, oh, yeah, he's just building a case against the Blue Jays to bring Melky back so people won't be disappointed when they re-sign him. But look, Melky Cabrera...
808 on OPS.
808 OPS. Melky Cabrera is good. Melky Cabrera is not irreplaceable. He's not great. He's very nice, and he fits in very nicely. But there are a lot of other guys who fit in nicely as well.
What I feel like I noticed more, having seen him for, I wanted to say 162 games, but of course... missed the final couple of weeks of the season.
September 3rd or something, he got hurt.
Yeah, played 139 games last year. Incredibly consistent. Really, really consistent the whole season long.
He had a month where he hit 240.
Well, I mean, that's not horrible. Although he's a guy who, if he hits 240, his on-base is like 260. Yeah.
Right.
Also, you talk about durability. And again, it may be... it may coincide with the fact that last year was a contract year for him. But, God, I'm trying to remember the series, but he took a pitch off the arm. It had a welt the size of a grapefruit, and he played through it. He did not miss a game.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I never realized he would be as valuable as I thought he was to that Blue Jays offense.
You know what? He's good. He's very good. And if they bring him back, he would be the two hitter on this team that is now stacked with power.
Yep.
But again, if they don't bring him back, they'll be fine.
Someone
in
left
field somehow.
I think I was talking to Tao of Steve on Twitter when the Russell Martin signing happened, and we were talking about offenses and how they age. And I thought that Russell Martin's offense and his bat would age a little better than Melky's because of the walk skills that Melky, frankly, doesn't have. He's a guy who needs to get base hits to boost that on base. He's done that pretty damn well in his career, including last year. But once you lose a little bit of hand eye, you lose a little bit of bat speed, that's it for Melky. He can't, you know, survive with a 250 batting average because the on base is going to be 280.
Yep. Melky is on base is driven by his batting average, and guys like that are scary because when they're not hitting, they're not helping. Jose Bautista, when he's not hitting, he's still always on base and he's still always helping. Edwin, Martin, Donaldson, guys like that, very, very helpful that way.
Before we go, Mike, got about 40 seconds. This Lester thing, we just won't go away. It seemed like if the Blue Jays weren't going to 6 years, it wasn't going to happen. I guess that's still the case, but you still hear rumors about the Blue Jays being involved, but we've heard rumors about the Blue Jays being involved with just about everybody, back to Prince Fielder, to every major free agent the Blue Jays are used as a pawn in this. How legitimate a possibility is John Lester?
I would say that it's not likely at all to happen. Could happen. Could happen. I would say Cubs, Red Sox, maybe even Giants are ahead of the Blue Jays, and I still can't believe the Yankees are going to sit there and not spend money on starting
pitching. They haven't done anything.
I know. It's crazy.
Anything.
They will.
Yeah. I guess Brandon Ryan's going to be their starting shortstop on opening day next year.
That's not going to happen.
I don't know. Lots to still play out. We're not even at the winter meetings, which happened. Thanks a lot for coming in for this hour. Mike, it was fun.
It was fun.
So fun.
It was my play. They're doing a junior podcast. Why they should bring us back?
Yeah, absolutely should. I know. Breaking down the movie Junior for an hour every week. I figure one
That'd
week
be
would be
fun.
Enough.
One week, I would think that you would move on and do Twins at least once, right?
Or Kindergarten Cop.
Yeah.
Anyways, up next, it's Samet and Russick on the Sportsnet Radio Network. I'm Ben Ennis. You can follow me on Twitter, at BenSSNet. Follow Mike, because you already do, at Wilderness590. Have a spectacular weekend and a Saturday. See you later.